Hey, everybody, and welcome to the latest episode of Ball Boys. We are the tennis podcast that puts the ho, ho, ho in Holger Rune. And today we are wrapping up the year with our 18th episode. Yes, we can finally vote. And in honor of that magical number, we are celebrating all things twinks with a look at the next gen ATP finals and talking about whether or not a twink can make it on today's tour. As always, I'm here with the twink to my twonk, Billy Hansen. Hey, Billy, how's it going?
Hey, Paul, I'm the twink to your twonk.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, well, or am I the twink? Am I the twink?
I did have blonde tips, frosted tips back in the day. So I feel like that was peak twink energy.
I think that qualifies you as a twink for the rest of your life.
Does it? I think I also had like a tight choker, which I like think also
a puka shell.
100% with my boot cut jeans. Ooh.
And how many polos did you have on at once?
Oh, I hadn't even gotten into my polo phase yet. I was like, who knows what I was wearing?
Blonde tips, boot cuts, and a puka shell. I think, honestly, you're ready for a night out tonight.
Well, I think that's why this episode might be a little triggering for me. It's because I'm remembering that phase in my life that was, frankly, a phase that in a lot of ways I'd like to forget.
Well, so in a lot of ways, we're getting back to your roots, both with your blonde
Fair
tips.
Point.
And,
Fair point.
You know, and yeah, I mean, look, I don't know if I ever was a twink. I think I've passed through from raver to kind of emo to just sort of like fashion plate, where I just was dressed by all the stylists, and I never really got to just be a twink.
Yeah, no, I don't think. Yeah, it was pretty much fashion plate, and it still is fashion plate, really.
Yeah. Breastplate, fashion plate.
Speaking of
dinner plates,
I'm not going to explain why I was climbing a tree the other night to try and get into a friend's building, but I was climbing a tree, but the twunk.
Like a twee twunk?
The twee twunk had barbs. You know those twunks with barbs? It was like spiky.
Ooh. Yeah. The twinks that twink back. Yeah.
I don't know why I'm telling you this, Paul, but I'm triggered. I'm triggered by twinks and twunks.
Yeah, you're twigged. And I mean, really, it's just, I think we're just going to have a lisp the entire episode. Kind of like, have you seen May December yet with Julianne Moore?
I have not, no. And Natalie Portman?
Yes. And the lisp should get nominated for its own Academy Award.
Who has a lisp?
Well, I'm not going to ruin it for anybody because it's important. It's important with one have it.
I with had one a doesn't. Lisp. I used to have a lisp and I went to speech therapy to fix it.
No,
it was a special kind of lisp, not the May December kind of lisp that we're used to, but it was actually with my CHs and my SHs. So instead of seashell, I would say seashell. And instead of church, I would say church.
Oh, I love that lisp. That's so cute.
Chicken. So I would actually use the side of my mouth instead of the back.
Chicken.
Yeah. Little chicken.
Oh, you're my little chickadee. Yeah.
It wasn't the speech therapist, though, who fixed it. Now I'm remembering. It was my high school girlfriend.
How'd she fix it?
She was just one day was like, you're using the side of your mouth. Use the back. And I was like, oh, chicken, not chicken.
And you've been using the back of your throat ever since.
Exactly. I was like, see you later, Michelle.
Sorry. Thanks, Michelle.
Thanks for the
still
advice.
Your boyfriend now. Well, perfect. So this is exactly what I wanted to talk about on this episode of Twinks. And we're going to be talking about tennis twinks today. Tennis twinks. And so just right off the bat, I just want to ask you, Billy, tennis twinks.
Yeah.
Just like our other polls from last week, which we're going to get into in a second. Tennis twinks. Yay or nay?
Tennis twinks, I'm going to give a yay to tennis twinks because they're really taking the tour by storm right now. How can you deny the tennis twinks? I mean, we've got a lot of players in that 18 to 22 range who are really making a statement. In fact, Runa and Alcaraz and Sinner are making such a statement that they don't even give a fuck about playing the ATP Next Gen because they're playing the World Tour Finals. That's how impressive the Twinks are.
That's
lately.
How dom the Twinks are. It's true. Although
Dom,
you know,
Twink, is that an oxymoron?
A Dom Twink. Well, actually, that's another poll. So the second poll, first poll that we're going to put on our social is tennis Twinks, yay or nay, and then
okay.
Dom Twinks, oxymoron? Question mark. Will be the other
Yay
poll.
or nay. Yeah.
You know, the sad thing is, though, and we're going to get into the next gen finals and everything, but Sinner is actually too old to play it at 22. And so he's aged out. That's how ruthless it is. It's like, oh, once you're over 21, we just don't care. Like, it's youth is celebrated. Maybe it's problematic, but I still love it.
Well, you've been looking forward to this Twinks episode since we first started this podcast. You've been going, oh, can't wait for the end of the year. We're going to do our Twinks episode. I'm like, okay, Paul, let me ask you.
I've been
you,
checking people's IDs. I'm like, who's going to make it?
Are you into Twinks in your personal romantic life?
In my personal, oh God. No, absolutely not.
Oh, wow. That was a hard pass.
Look, I've aged. So as someone who's in his mid to late 20s, 30s or 40s, approaching 50 or 30, they're too young for me. It doesn't do it for, and it never really did. Like,
okay.
But so and we're going to talk about the difference between a twink and a tennis twink, but like a twink doesn't have a lot of power. I like some power, and like a tennis twink, all the tennis twinks you've already mentioned, they got some real power. So,
yeah, but now I'm confused. Are we on the tennis court or in the bedroom? Where do you like the power?
I like power I like powerful people.
Okay.
I'm attracted to power.
Okay,
prestige.
Gotcha. Okay. That's fair. That's fair.
But so we're going to post some of these polls, though. But before we even get much further, I just want to circle back on the polls from last time.
Oh,
well, we
yes.
Had some polls. I am floored by some of these results. So we had.
Oh,
so we
Instagram
got,
was. We were trending. I mean, these polls were.
Yeah.
Very, very hot topics.
It's
absolutely.
You know, forget
very
the
controversial.
Caucuses. I think the caucuses are right here, if you know what I mean. Our first poll was, is Rublev a ginger? And I was like, well, of course he's not. There's no world where he's a ginger. And 86% of you said he is a ginger. And
vindicated.
I mean, look, I know when I've been licked, but I'm just beside myself. Like, am I colorblind? Like, I don't see it. I see an auburn strawberry blonde, not a ginger.
We can do a colorblind game maybe on a future episode. But I do want, I'm curious. This will tell our listeners a lot about your personality. Even though the poll overwhelmingly said that Rublev is a ginger,
yes.
Do you still stand by your opinion that he's not? Or have you been convinced by our knowledgeable listeners and the masses?
Look, it's not a hill I'm gonna lie on. I will allow it. If he
you're,
wants to
you're
identify,
struggling here, Paul.
If he wants to identify as a ginger, I'm not gonna be like, well, no, you're not a ginger. I'm not gonna tell people who they are. I don't see it. I
okay.
Just don't see it. So I will, when I look at him, I will never be like, oh, there's that ginger. When I look at Sinner, I'm like, oh, there's that ginger. So I don't see it. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right.
But God bless.
God bless. What were our other polls? Oh, lanky bottoms, yay or nay. Remind
yes.
me, what was the outcome of that?
So we were talking, specifically, we were talking about Daniil Medvedev, the big Medi, and just how, even though he is so big, he kind of plays bottomy. He kind of has bottom energy. And so we were just talking about how lanky bottoms don't get much love. And I'm sorry to report that 58% of our voters, and we're talking thousands of voters, voted nay to tall, lanky bottoms.
Well,
but
that, hey, that's 44, still 42%.
Oh, sorry, 42. Yeah.
That's still 42% of people that would, you know, give lanky bottoms a ride. So You know what's fun about Medvedev is just what extreme positions he gets himself into, like how his technique can look very wonky at times. Like he's like sniffing his armpit pit, one leg is like jutting out, you know, his racket's behind his head.
And he's swinging like with both arms at once on his forehand. Like it's just he's like an octopus, and it's that big bottom energy.
I love it.
But then we had a follow-up to that of tall, hung, lanky bottoms, and the poll was yay or yay. And I'm happy to report that 100% voted yay for tall, hung, lanky bottoms. So there is some hope if you are out there.
And again, we did not give our listeners the option of saying nay.
Correct.
It was yay. The options were yay or yay.
Yes. And that's science and that is politics. And this is how we are caucusing over here. And so, Billy, you also wanted to follow up about a really important topic from the last episode and maybe even issue a slight mea culpa, if you will.
Well, yes, we talked a lot about how humans, when they consume animals, they're mostly consuming the female animals and not the male animals. We talked about this in regards to chicken and cattle, but it turns out I've done a deeper dive and humans consume both male and female cattle.
Well, I'm glad that you're taking some culpability here, though, because I was up in arms about the femicide, about the rampant devouring. But also, it looks like I'm looking at the stats that 57% of the turkeys we eat are toms.
Yes, which we did acknowledge on the last episode.
Oh, we did. Okay.
I want to be very clear now that now I'm really leaning into the chickens element of it, because there is a lot of chicken consumed in this country, in the world. And I'm hesitant to say this, but I'm just going to say it briefly. If you go down like a vegan Twitter kind of wormhole, you will find some footage of factory farming.
Can you say wormhole if it's vegan?
Good point. A gummy wormhole.
Okay.
Or gummy worms, they might not be vegan, because
I don't think they are.
They have gelatin. Like that gelatin, a vegan gummy wormhole. And you will see, I think they basically put baby male chicks just like into the incinerator.
Wow. See, it's hard out there for a twink. I mean, little chicken twinks, they don't have any future. So that's rough. All right. So I just have to get one more pickleball rant off my chest before 2024, because I think by next year, they will have grown like locusts. They will have taken over all the tennis courts. We'll be bowing down to the pickleball overlords. So I was at the gym where they have the Tennis Channel on all the time, but the Tennis Channel plays pickleball when there's nothing on. That's how desperate they are for content. And this pickleball tournament had just sort of ended, and they were giving the trophy ceremony. And just like any other ceremony, the sponsor comes out and gives the check. And this encapsulates just what I can't stand about pickleball, was that the person giving the check was wearing a suit and tie on top and cargo shorts and flip-flops on bottom.
That sounds worse than my twink look from back in the day.
Seriously.
Wow. Or like, actually fairly similar.
Like, frankly. I think I saw him back in 2003 and we were all at beige together. This is what's wrong with the sport. I know they're trying to be casual. I know they're trying to be cool, but like, gross.
Well, Paul, I know we're trying to keep things light right now on this podcast, but I do have something to share with you. I'm worried. I bet that those pickleball ratings on the Tennis Channel are good. I bet they're like, wow, look at people tuning into these pickleball matches. I think they've already acquired something called Pickleball TV. So it's on. It's on. And is it true you still haven't played pickleball, right? You still haven't actually ventured on to
that? I have not. And I'm going to hold out. I am going to absolutely hold out. And I know it's fighting. I'm like that salmon trying to swim upstream. But you know what? That's what I do, because I'm a salmon.
I say we at least try it out once. ball, and we have to do it full pickleball style.
This is how it starts. This is how it starts.
We have to whoop it up. Like, we have to whoop a lot. We have to, like, be loud. We have to play music as we're playing. Like, yeah, let's do it.
Look, I mean, here's the, it's just like how we had to accept Novak this year. Of like, okay, he's going to break every record. I accept it. Pickleball is going to outpace tennis. It's going to be way more popular because, you know, anyone can play it because it doesn't take any skill. But I'm not there yet. And it's going to be a process of grieving through 2024. And I'm excited to take everyone along that journey. And I'm sure everyone else is excited to come along that journey of grieving throughout the year.
And listeners, my goal is to get Paul onto that pickleball court in the next 3 months. Yeah. Okay. It's going to happen. I actually know several people who have like weekly pickleball nights. So all I have to do is play my cards right and we'll get an invite.
I feel like you're threatening me. All I have to do is make one phone call and you're playing pickleball.
You on a pickleball court is one phone call away, Paul. Don't you test me.
You're like the mafia. Don't you test me. West Hollywood, which you do not want to cross because those queens.
No.
Honey.
No. You know what's funny, actually, is a friend of mine got so infuriated by the pickleball situation at Plummer Park that he called his good friend, the West Hollywood mayor, and they had a little chat about the pickleball tennis tension at Plummer Park. That's how serious this battle has gotten, because the pickleball players were kind of lingering on the court when he wanted to start to play tennis, and they were just gabbing away, and he was like, I want to play a quiet, civilized game of tennis. I mean, it went all the way to the mayor. I'm not kidding. The game mafia is involved.
Is this where my tax dollars are going, to settling the feud between pickleball and tennis? Actually, you know what?
I don't know where else they're going.
I mean, I don't need them to fund education.
No. You're already so educated.
I'm wicked smart. All right. The last thing I want to talk about, though, before we just dive into that pile of twinks is there's a little social media roundup, our little round robin, Billy. What's been going on the socials?
Well, it's fun. You know, the tennis season is so short that everyone's like, okay, I want to do something like in my life that's not tennis related. Okay. I want to get married. I want to get knocked up. I want to give birth, whatever. Like, people do all of those like traditional life milestone things in the month of December if they're a tennis player, because that's the only opportunity they have. So now we have Musetti. He's posted that his girlfriend is pregnant, it looks like. So a twink.
What a bummer.
And then Shelby Rogers got married. I know you're a big Shelbs fan.
I'm so happy for her.
Yeah.
And then, I love Shelby Rogers.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, have you done a vegan gummy wormhole into her husband? What if he's an awful person? I have no reason to believe that he is. I'm just saying.
So you're just starting that rumor that he's an awful person.
I'm just saying, we don't know. I don't know much about him. You know, like, why?
Well, why does it matter? We know her and we love her.
She should have consulted us before agreeing to this proposal.
Fair. That's fair.
No.
Yeah.
No. Good for Shelby. And then this.
Oh my God! Her photos look stunning. Ooh.
What do you think of her hubby? Do we like a little twinkie? Maybe
a little twinkie. A little, like, he looks kind of like the guy who just won the Next Gen Cup. Medjedovic.
Yeah, he also looks a little bit like he might be scheming a lot of like wealthy people into some sort of
like he works at a crypto trading platform.
Exactly.
Oh my God, she's never hot. Looked better, which I guess that's what people strive for on their wedding day. She looks great. We're gonna post some of these on our reference.
Also, posters. It's not her fault. She's sponsored by Fila. I mean, that's it's tough to look your best in Fila. I'm just gonna say it.
Wow.
I'm just gonna say it. It's true. I mean, John Isner. I mean, if you go through Fila's list of players,
it's a choice.
It's a choice. But
anything else on the socials or?
Well, I don't know much about this, but I avoid TikTok, but I mentioned to a friend of mine who's really into TikTok that Venus Williams had this new Happy Vikings. I think it's some sort of smoothie, some sort of blend that keeps you, a food product that keeps you energized throughout the day. I really don't know much more than that. Did you know that Viking Eric the Red, I believe was his name, was in fact
a ginger.
The first person to set foot on the New World 500 years before Columbus?
Really?
Yes.
And he just, in that 500 years, he couldn't do shit? What a lazy-ass Viking.
He went back to Viking land and died, you know.
And he didn't tell anyone about his trip.
He did.
I went to Puerto Vallarta that one weekend and I didn't tell anybody.
Because it was at the height of COVID? You were that gay?
Yeah.
Please.
I inspired gays over COVID, that amazing social.
Yeah, and I think Eric the Red, it was like at the height of the plague, and he was like, I'm still going to travel.
I saw the photos of him getting off his boat. He like had dyed his hair. It was like, oh, that's Eric the Blonde. I see you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so anyway, Venus has this product. And my friend right. says that she was like, oh, that's all over TikTok, which I imagine is a good thing for Venus. So yeah. Venus is all over TikTok with some food nutritional product called Happy Vikings, everybody.
Well, let's get into the Twinks, the meat of the episode here, which is kind of ironic because famously Twinks are not meaty at all, but we'll see how much we can cover.
All right.
So the reason why we're talking about this is that I think there's a lot of evidence out there that historically tennis has been pretty obsessed with Twinks, that teenager who wins big, who dominates, who pushes the old guard out. I mean, especially on the ladies' side. It's like, whoa, there's like...
Oh, so we can have Lady Twinks. I just want to be clear.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Lady Twinks. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, so here are okay. Twinks, I know that we're all thinking about like that hairless boy who's just kind of like trouble. And yes, that I am talking about Billy. But tennis Twinks is more of like that concept of just the young guns coming in and taking over. Yes, no, Billy just flashed his titties, but he's no longer a hairless twink because he's in his early to late mid-30s or 40s or 50s. Maybe even 60s.
60s, absolutely. I just want to know the age range. Because when you're talking about some of these lady twinks, I mean, we're talking 14-year-olds, Paul.
They are lady twinks, yes. I mean, when Martina Hingis won 3 out of 4 Grand Slams at the age of 16, that's a lady twink. Yes, because again, this is not about the classic twink that is Billy in his heyday. We're talking about the ingenues. We're talking about the upstarts. Okay. That's what a twink is in tennis. We're obsessed with that. And like for the women, yes, that not so much anymore, but it used to be very young. It used to be like these 14, 15, 16-year-olds who would come out and wipe the court with these old hags of 24 years old. And it was just incredible.
I could give you a list of all of our famous lady twinks, but I won't. Well,
I think we should actually talk about some of them. I mean, there's Tracy Austin. There's Chris Evert.
Well, you know what's kind of Chris Evert being an exception to this? A lot of these lady twinks were done by the time they, you know, whether it was due to injury, due to stabbing, due to, you know, burnout, right?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of these lady twinks, they suffered around 18 or 19. I mean, Tracy Austin was done. She made a half-hearted comeback, you know, in 1990, but she, you know, she won a couple slams in her teens. Hingis, as we know, retired young.
No,
Capriati had her burnout. Celis, you know,
she had her back injury. Oh yeah. I mean, yes. And I think it's interesting because the whole notion. So because of a lot of that, there were age restrictions put on of how much you could play, how many tournaments you could play. And I think it was an important change to have. And also, the game has changed. I mean, people used to, I was joking about 24, but when you were 29, you were done. You were like thrown out into the chipper. But now everyone's playing well into their late mid 30s, so you don't have to start so young. So the twinkness, I think, is getting a little older. So like now, I don't think Coco Gauff is a twink, but she's definitely a twunk. Like 3 years ago, when she came out and beat Venus at Wimbledon, twink. That was total twink behavior. Peak where it's twink. Like, you know, it's like, it's this brashness. And even though she wasn't brash, she was actually really amazingly poised and put together. But like this notion of like, no, it's my time, even though I'm 15, that's a twink. And on the men's side, it's a little older, but like we've had the Beckers. We've had Michael Chang was 17 when he won his French Open. Sampras was a teenager. All of them. All of these, like Alcaraz, technically still a twink.
True. Yeah. But I would, but we haven't seen those the same kind of burnouts and injuries necessarily on the men's side, which makes me think that perhaps having 13 and 14 year olds play is a little bit different than having, you know, 17 and 18 year olds play.
Oh, absolutely.
In terms of the effect it has on their tennis career and on their mental health.
Yeah, I'm glad that we kind of stopped the insanity, because there was like, there was an obsession, like it's like gymnastics or other sports where it's just like, oh yeah, your prime is when you're 14 or 15. No. Like everything has changed. Like we have better vitamins. Boniva goes a long way in helping these ladies stay on court.
Okay. All right. I mean, we're definitely seeing a normalization of women taking maternity leave and then coming back, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oftentimes a pregnancy was, that would basically be the death
she
knell.
Sent to a mountain to live for the next 9 months. Yeah, it was unheard of.
Kerber, in fact, is coming back from maternity leave in Australia. So that's exciting. We'll see.
I'm into that.
Yeah.
Who are your, so thinking about all these twinks that we've thrown these, all there's a lot of twinks on this twink pile. Who are some of your, like, who's your favorite twink of all time? For tennis, do not start talking about Bellamy.
Well, I liked the brashness of Agassi, right? He was that brash twink, you know, with the hair and the bright colors and, you know, that rebellious attitude, the rebel twink. So I definitely enjoyed Agassi. And currently, I'm not sure I enjoy him, but I definitely think Runa is giving us a lot of twink energy. Oh, all time fave twink. Got to be Nadal and those clam diggers though. Right. Isn't
like who gave him the right. And it was just cause he was this young brash. Like, I mean, it's very reminiscent of your hookah shell necklace and blonde tips. It's like, yeah, I'm going to wear clam diggers. Like, why? I still don't know why he wore those or what was that.
And yet he made them iconic.
Iconic. And no one has been able to repeat it since.
I feel like, I wonder if I could get a pair still.
You made a good point about Agassi, because there's a couple different types of twinks that we're thinking about. There's like, there was this term that was coined a couple years ago in New York called the demon twink that was about a specific twink at a Britney Spears themed boat party who got so messed up that he just did whatever he wanted to. And they're like, get that demon twink out of here. It's those upstarts, it's those brats, it's the brashness. But then there's also these other twinks who just want to be loved, who just want to please daddy. And like, that's where I see someone like Alcaraz, who whenever he hits a great shot, he looks over to Juan Carlos and he's like, do you love me, daddy?
Who are your favorite twinks of all time, Paul?
Look, I will never not say Jennifer Capriati. Like, she is that classic brash, innocent, just hero.
Do you, and also wanted to please her father for sure. Stefano Capriati was tough.
He had some tough love. Yeah.
Tough dad. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I also loved I loved Boris Becker when he came out in the 80s, not came out of the closet, but came out onto the court. Like,
he did not come out of the closet. He got someone pregnant in a closet, I think at Nobu in London. Remember? Yeah, that's how I think his wife Barbara found out he was.
Have you ever been in the closet at Nobu?
I have not.
Oh, it's
Is it a great
stunning.
place to? Oh,
Yeah.
it makes you, it gets, you can't
It's the
help but
panty
have sex in
dropper.
there.
If
Oh,
you can
wow.
get into the closet of Nobu, you're going to come
Now,
out pregnant.
they do have a Nobu at Indian Wells. Does the same thing apply? Because we're going to be at Indian Wells in just, March. It's coming up.
Honestly, after that edamame that we had last time,
Oh,
oof,
God. Well,
that
let's
did
go.
not get me pregnant.
No.
So I know we're kind of dancing all over these twinks, and there's a lot to cover, but I think we also do need to think about the definition of a twink changing, because before, like we said, everyone retired by the time they were in their late 20s. But now I almost wonder, like is someone like Tsitsipas still a twink? Because he still is part of that. He's like that old next gen tennis player. He's still in his early 20s. He still
Early 20s, so now 26 is your early 20s.
Is he 26? I thought he was 24 still.
I'm going to tell you right now, cowboy.
He's
Here
25.
we've he's 25.
Okay, so he's in his mid, so 25. So is
Yeah.
he kind of still a twink? Like, I don't know.
I don't
Because
think you
no
could
one,
be a
because people, and I'm looking at you, Novak, will not retire. It's like we've got this kind of like there's like a twink stampede. They're just all they're, all these twinks are backed up. And it's like, have you ever been like a backed up twink? It's like you need to move forward. You need to get it out. And
Novak
yeah.
has said no to everyone from Tsitsipas's generation, except for Medvedev, I guess. Tsitsipas, Zverev, just said no. No room for you to.
Sorry, Cam Norrie.
I mean,
I love
yeah,
Cam Norrie.
I do too. Do we think Cam Norrie has he peaked, or is he going to keep making things happen in 2024?
I don't, I mean, we could quote
Didn't you see a photo of
his
him
fan
vaping or something like that?
of what?
I thought you saw a photo of him vaping or smoking or something.
Yeah, he posted a photo to a story that had him holding one of those like weird pink vapes that
Right.
it's just I don't know, which was unfortunate. But I do like one of the things that I love about him though is that he has one big fan in Jon Bon Jovi, who not only likes his photos but comments on them, and it's just like I don't know, is Cam Norrie living on a prayer?
I mean, his love is like bad medicine, that's for sure.
Ooh, oh God, I
Oh,
haven't thought of that song in
yeah.
so long.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And also, I was talking about cowboys, like a cowboy on a steel horse.
Dead or alive?
Yep.
Oh my God, I
Well,
can't, we need to go do Bon Jovi karaoke at some point. All right, well, let's talk about, so the inspiration for this was not just our love of twinks and the tennis world's love of twinks, but we just had the Twink Cup, aka the Next Gen ATP Finals. This is a tournament that began in 2017. I do think it began kind of on the heels of a few decades of twinks just not getting the attention that they need on the main
yeah,
tour. They
I
were
agree.
not breaking through. And you know, if a twink doesn't get enough attention, they die. So they were like, okay, we need to find a way. Because it's like, look
Right.
at what happened to the Dimitrovs. Look at what happened to the Goffins. Like they were
Yeah.
like these cute little twinks who were like, come on. And they just couldn't win. And so this event, the Next Gen ATP Finals, started in 2017. It helped give them that love that they couldn't get at the Grand Slams.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean they couldn't break the stranglehold that Federer, Nadal, and Novak had, and Murray
And Murray and Wawrinka.
and Wawrinka had on the slams, and so they needed this tournament to so that people would know who they were.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, honestly, you look at who played it. So this is not necessarily, okay, you win this and you're going to win everything, but it is a rite of passage if you look at all the people who played, right? It's like the inaugural event had Rublev, Chorich,
Right.
Medvedev,
Yeah.
2018 had Tsitsipas, Tiafoe, Fritz,
Right.
Hercash.
I've heard of these names. Yeah.
These
Yeah.
are you who only watches women tennis, even you have heard of these names.
Right. And then Sinner won as well, right?
Yeah, he won in 2019, and this was like wow, because Milan was hosting that year. He got a wild card into it, and
Yeah.
this was one of the times where it's like, who the fuck was that? Because he had I mean, he has always hit from the baseline the way he hits now. Like, he just has such powerful strokes. And it's like, holy shit, who the fuck is this twink? And now we have, you know, these guys are all in the top four with Novak. So it's like, it is kind of like a cool thing to be like, wow, that's where a lot of these twinks got started.
Yeah, I see your point. I still feel like, though, I felt this way more this year than I have before. So the next gen finals were in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. And I had a tough time getting on board with the whole aesthetic of this particular edition of the next gen finals. But I mean, literally, it felt like the Hunger Games, right? I felt like I was going to see Mikkelsen a la Peter Mellark with like his clothes on fire on a chariot and everyone in the capital just cheering with their, like, you know, it definitely felt.
I mean, that sounds amazing. I want that for next year. Like, set them all on fire. Yeah.
Yeah.
Next gen is only for the boys. Why isn't there a next gen cup for the ladies?
Well, I do think that at the moment, the WTA is.
They can't really even just fund a court, but
right, they're trying to stay afloat a little bit. I think it'd be great. As you know, we want a seniors tour too for the women. So what if there's like some event that's like part seniors, part next gen, right? And then they play mixed. Well, it wouldn't be mixed doubles, but they play doubles.
You ageist motherfucker. They'll play mixed. There'll be an old hag and a young beautiful princess. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, no. Yeah. I mean, I think that there's a lot of things can be done, but also just like, because especially on the women's side, right now there's not a lot of lady twinks making waves. I mean, there's Andreeva and Favertova. Right.
Yeah.
But I think that because there have been so many powerful lady twinks in the past, I think that they would do really well to have a lady twinks cup.
Don't both Andreeva and Favertova have younger sisters who are also really good?
Favertova so does. I mean, they've got a lot of hype, but
that's four twinks right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Four lady twinks. That's half. We've already, you know,
we fielded half
the roster by half. Yeah. With just two families.
I mean, look, if they're not going to do it, maybe we should put it together at the Vermont Canyon Tennis Courts. It will be, we'll get Ace.
We'll sell it out for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think it's a really cool format for showing us what's going to happen, who might be on the radar. Like Arthur Fies, he is well into twunkhood. I mean, he was the number one seed at this year's ATP Cup. He is, I mean, we are as obsessed with Arthur Fies as he and Ben Shelton are obsessed with each other, because he and Ben Shelton are obsessed with each other on social media. They're always like messaging and like cheering each other on. That's how I feel.
Do you know what feast means in French? F-I-L-S. Do you know what that means?
I don't. Is it like a stallion?
It means sun.
Oh.
So he's basically like really leaning in just with his last name.
Yeah.
Into this twink and twunk dumb. Cause he's like Arthur Sun. Like, he's like all of our sons and.
Mm. So wait, like, so it. Then what's Monfils mean? Any idea?
My son. I think it means my son.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, my son. Yeah, Monfils.
Yeah.
Cute. Yeah, so I mean, well, so it is interesting, and we talked about this a little bit at the top. Yeah, the top four twinks didn't even play the Twink Cup this year. So if we're looking at both Runa and Alcaraz played the ATP finals, and then Shelton was like, no, I'm going to go watch Florida Gators and just like, you know, live in his best life.
Frankly, I think is probably a good move for someone Shelton's age. And frankly, for all of these twinks, like, they're playing a tournament in early December and they're supposed to be back for the 2024 season in early January. I mean, how are they going to develop their games? How are they going to, I worry actually though, that the scheduling for the next gen is undermining maybe their long-term success. And I approve of Shelton's decision to say, bye.
Let's be honest. And we're going to talk a little bit about like the format of the tournament. It's not the most taxing tournament The matches are very short, very fast paced, and it's kind of like, it's just like playing with your best friends in the desert.
Oh yeah, everything felt so whittle. It was
It
like
was a
they had
little.
whittle courts, so the
Yeah.
courts were just the singles lines, right, which we almost never see. And then they had whittle sets, so the set you only played till four. It was 3 out of 5 sets, but you only played till four. There was no ad scoring. They're very childlike in that respect.
They were like little porcelain tennis matches. Like it was,
yeah.
I mean, and everything about it was so twinkish too. Like I've never seen this before. I think this is the first time ever for this tournament, but also maybe in any tournament, there was no warm up. Like that is
No.
such a twink move to pull. Like, oh yeah, we're 18, 19 years old. We don't need to stretch. Like
and they
if
also
I did
had
that, if I did, oh my honey, if we just like went into a match, I would have to be wheeled off of that court within one game. Like it's like that is just showing a level of privilege that's youth privilege that I think we need to
Yeah.
check.
I agree. I
Handling.
100% agree. And even when you do a lot of stretching, Paul, you still often have to retire with injury from your matches. But yeah. They keep adding experimental new rules to this event. So, right, they have the sets till four. They have the no ad scoring. They also have a clock between points that varies depending on how long the point is. So if the point is like over 3 shots, the time between serves is 25. But if it's, yeah, I believe so.
Oh,
yeah.
Because I saw that the serve clock was never more than 15 seconds, and they had a serve clock between the first and second serve.
Yeah, so I think both of those things are definitely true. You're right. And I think it was maybe like 8 seconds between first and second, I forget. But yeah, if the rally was fewer than 3 shots or 3 shots or fewer, then it was a 15 second clock. But if the rally was more than 3 shots, they got 25. I believe something. I'm orbiting the truth.
I think that's a great policy, actually. Like, why it should be that. And
right, but
also if it's a like 35 shot rally, give them 45 seconds.
I like that. Yeah. Let's extend it into some of those epic rallies. They need a little more time.
And like, what was her name? Who got booed at the U.S. Open for playing slow against Coco Gauff? Laura Siegman.
Yeah.
They had some rallies that were amazing. And yeah, you need a second to overcome that. And she was booed because she would take a couple extra seconds.
Do you know what the longest rally of all time was? I believe it happened at a WTA match like in the early 80s. And I'm Googling it because I'm not sure, but I think it might have been like over an hour, that single rally.
Shut up.
Yeah. It was a 29 minute 643 shot rally.
Ugh.
Yeah, who I believe Gene Heppner was one of the participants in that rally. Yeah, so they needed a longer break than 25 seconds after that 29 minute rally.
But also, I'm sorry. That is an indictment of a level of play that like that should not be at a professional tournament. If you can't figure out how to win a point within 5 minutes of that point starting, something's wrong.
I just imagine it being so meditative. I would love to watch that. I would love to just watch 29 minute rally after 29 minute rally. Oh, it's a dream. It's a dream. Yeah.
God, I would die. I would absolutely die.
Oh,
and I wouldn't be able to stop laughing. I know I would start giggling at like minute 12 and just it would be over for me.
I'm looking to see more of that. But yeah, my question is back to the next gen.
Oh yeah.
Do all of these new rules, right? They're interesting. And I believe that the implication is that, well, we're testing these out with the next gen finals because we might actually incorporate them onto the main tour, into other events. And they've been, again, trying out these new rules since 2017. So they now have amassed a lot of data. But I've seen none of these rules actually, start to take effect at any other events. So I'm kind of wondering why they're experimenting with these new rules if there's no intention on ever to ever change the actual rules of the men's tour.
Well, I think it is tennis is trying to broaden its appeal, mm-hmm. and things that they know are issues are the pace of the game, the length of the matches. And so like, okay, let's make it shorter, faster, sexier. Bah, 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 bah.
So it's like a twink attention span, right? And they think that exactly. the twinks are also the ones maybe tuning into these matches. So we've got to keep those twinks engaged.
Exactly. Okay. They actually aired this on Nickelodeon. and then Nick Jr. I think that they're it's similar also to that UTS showdown. They're just trying things to play with the format because they are, and I think mistakenly thinking that the format is the challenge with the appeal of the game. But really, the challenge with the appeal of the game is the personalities at the top of the game. That's it. I mean, we've got Novak and we've got Świątek.
Well,
not exactly.
I love Świątek.
I know you do. I just don't think. I think if we are judging her charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent, it's maybe not serving.
I think it's off the charts.
Her charisma is off the charts.
Yeah. Yes.
What? Okay, you're just trying to fight, and I don't know why, because it's our last episode of the year. It's the holidays.
I'm sorry, Paul. I'm sorry.
You think she has charisma?
Yes, and I'm not going to explain to you how much charisma she has right now because I might need some time to kind of build my case.
Oh,
so I'm going to. I believe she does, but I'm going to come up with some hard facts for you, some evidence, some mm-hmm. bullet points.
Okay.
And on a future episode, I will explain just why Świątek has
break down her charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent.
Yes, off the charts charisma, uniqueness, nerve.
I mean, the talent I would agree, but you know, otherwise I just don't know. Well, so the results of this tournament, it was interesting because, again, the top four twinks couldn't make it. Now that Musetti is a dad, I think that he's just automatically not allowed to be called a twink anymore. I don't think a daddy can be a twink. I just
really?
I don't think a daddy can be a twink. I don't think a twink can be a daddy, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
And so we were left with but imagine though, Rune, Alcaraz, Shelton were playing, like that would be like a fucking baller ass tournament. Like I would be really into that. But you know, we didn't have that. So the biggest star was Arthur Fies, who we've already talked mm-hmm. about. He's really kind of mm-hmm. this fully formed player. He's had quite a year, just like Shelton. He was in, I think, the mid-200s for his ranking at the beginning of the year. He's playing challengers. Now he's in the mid-30s.
No, there were a couple times during this tournament where Arthur Fies was playing in full flight and just smacking his forehand, his backhand, his serve. And I was like, impressed.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's going to be a top fiver soon.
Yeah. 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 I'm very excited about his game and his white shorts. It's funny. I thought it was illegal to go commando in Saudi Arabia, but maybe not.
I don't know. I'd have to look into the details. You know, that is probably a bullet point to a larger law. So we'll have to see what the details say. What about on the ATP tour? Do you think it's part of the code of conduct that you must wear undergarments? On court?
I bet at Wimbledon, but maybe elsewhere. Actually, I bet at Australian Open they encourage you not to. Because they're just wacky Australians.
Let that wang hang.
Yeah, good eye.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
but obviously Feast, and then we'll talk about, of course, our winner. But was there anyone else? Because I was impressed by some of the other players in the field, but I was not blown away by any of the other players in the field, except for our winner, Medvedevich. I'm going to need a little bit of practice with that one because it's like Medvedev and Novak had some sort of love child.
Yes.
And the name is even more confusing than either of theirs. Yeah.
They exactly. Yeah. They just push those names. It's like me and Tommy. We put our names together, but it's much easier. It's just Paul, Paul. We're not gonna have that issue. But when Novak and Medvedev get married and have babies, they're gonna be named Medvedevich, which rolls off the tongue. I was not that excited about most of the matches. We had an American there, Mickelson, who I think has game.
Yeah.
He didn't really perform that well there. It was kind of a letdown for him. And
remember how they had all those, like, they made them do the sprints and the vertical jumps and the agility exercises? Mickelson came last in pretty much all of them.
Yeah. They also had them try to identify things like a VHS tape, which was just
a floppy disk. There was some, like, I guess thing from the 90s where it was like a digital pet that you people played with.
Yeah, the Tamagotchi.
I didn't know what that was back then, and I still don't know what it is. But
neither anyway, do they. Yeah. See, again, you're going back to your twink roots. Your twink boots.
Yeah.
You didn't know a Tamagotchi then. You don't know now.
But again, it felt like this kind of like weirdness of like, look how cute these young boys are. They don't know what, you know, a floppy disk is. It again felt like, you know, we were kind of leaning into their youth and their back in their again, Mickelson looks very much like an adolescent.
Oh, they're all babies. I mean, it's
How long does adolescence last technically?
I think until you're 26. No, seriously, like your brain is not fully formed until 26. So I guess, like, how are you defining? So my brain's not fully formed yet.
Right. That explains a lot.
That explains a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to be much more tolerant and forgiving now, Paul, that I know your brain's not fully formed.
You are nothing if not intolerant.
I will say, other than Medvedevich and Feast, Medvedevich, I think his game is super solid. He's like a brick wall out there. I know he is technically a twink, but I feel like he's a twink who has seen things.
And then I think the only other standout is Miss Stricker.
Absolutely, yes. Dominic Stricker, who won our hearts at the US Open earlier this year when he was upsetting Tsitsipas, who is arguably a twink at age 25. And at the changeover in the fifth set, I Want to Dance with Somebody came on by Whitney Houston, and Stricker started moving those shoulders, getting into it. You know, he was kind of lip syncing, but kind of half-assed. And
he was like eating. He was eating a banana while lip syncing, which is also very twinkish.
He's bopping along, and then you think he's done, but then the chorus comes, and he leans into it. He's like,
"He can't.
Oh, I want to dance." Yeah, it was great.
He was like, he thought he was done too, and he's like, "Oh no, I'm not done."
Right.
Sing some more. Yeah. That was good, Billy. You have a great voice.
Well, thanks, Paul. You know,
I want to know.
It was, I think it was a hot day, so he knew he was already feeling the heat. So,
yeah.
Listeners, if you haven't seen that clip, you've got to watch it. And I'm a Stricker stan because he's a Whitney stan, and we're all standing each other. And
it's a great
I like
stan.
His game. I like his game too. I think he's got a huge forehand, huge backhand, big lefty serve. Yeah. I definitely think he has potential. I might be a little bit biased, but I'm a Stricker stan.
A Stricker stan. I think I traveled there once. It's next to Kazakhstan. I agree. So I think between Fees, Medvedevich, and Stricker, I think all of them will be in the top 30 in this coming year. And
wow, what a bold prediction.
That's pretty bold, sir.
You think? Oh, and well, you said in this coming year.
In this coming year, yeah.
Okay, that is bold. That is
bold. Bitch.
Okay.
And my predictions ain't never wrong.
No, they are no. Those crystal balls are. Mm-mm.
No. Don't make me take you back to the twink chipper and throw you in.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do with old aging twinks around here. But I don't think any of these twinks are going to win a Grand Slam anytime soon. I don't think, I think next year, I mean, we don't need to get into the predictions of next year, but you know, I think between Alcaraz and Sinner, they've got shots, but otherwise, you know, I don't think Rune is going to win a Grand Slam next year. And these two, like, I don't think we need to worry about Mickelson making a run. But we'll see.
But I wouldn't be shocked if Feast had a big slam breakthrough, including maybe a win. It wouldn't shock me. Yes. That's a win. The cards would have to fall. There would have to be some cards falling in the right direction, right? I'm not saying he's like going to necessarily...
on top of the other players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some 8x8 cards made of steel plates crashing down on the rest of the field. Yeah.
Anus thing is possible, as Alaska would say. So, not to make anybody listening or anyone hosting this episode nauseous, but the average age that these twinks are and the year they were born in is 2000. The year they were born in was 2003 on average, which is just crazy. Like, there will no longer be an ingenue from the 90s. Like, we're well into the new millennium. And so I was thinking about it of just like, it's wild because
we're starting to see Gen Z players.
Oh, these are all Gen Z players. Yeah.
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 It's crazy. And so I was thinking, well, what was it like way back in the year 2003? And so Conan O'Brien used to have this bit in the 90s when the year 2000 was coming up, where they would do predictions about what was happening in the year 2000. And they would, like, he and Andy Richter would sing it together. In the year 2000. So I was thinking we could play a game. In the year 2003. And so I'm going to quiz you on what was happening in 2003. And listeners, feel free to play along. So it's just a speed round. We've got about 5 or 6 questions.
Okay.
And if you get all of these right, Billy, you win a prize. And I will give you that prize later tonight at Trivia Night. And if you get these wrong, then I win a prize.
Are there multiple choice? Are they multiple choice?
I do have some of them are multiple choice because, let's be honest, it's not 2003 was 20 years ago. So a lot's happened since then. But hopefully, I believe in you. So,
Okay.
So... First question. In 2003, we had Grand Slam winners Andy Roddick, Roger Federer, Juan Carlos Ferrero, and Andre Agassi. Which one of them was the year-end number one?
So you gave me Agassi, Roddick, Ferrero, and Federer, right?
Yep.
I could be so wrong, but I'm actually going to go with Roddick.
Correct.
Yay.
Yes.
I think I can remember because it was at the U.S. Open. He beat Ferrero in the final and rocketed to number one. Yeah.
Yeah, because otherwise it was actually surprising. Like, yes, he had the most points, but he didn't have the most tour wins. He didn't have the most tournament wins. It was like, oh, okay.
I mean... Andy Roddick might be the penultimate twink.
The prototype.
Even had, I think, frosted tips, and he had that visor, and he was scrambling to every shot.
Yep.
Hockey.
Okay, on the women's side, in 2003, who won more Grand Slams, Serena Williams or Justine Henin?
I think I know that right off the bat, because Justine Henin won two, right? She won the French and the U.S. Open, and that was also the year that she denied that she raised her hand, and Serena got rightfully upset. I'm just trying to think if Serena also won two that year, but I'm going to go with Justine.
Oh, you were so close. They both won two.
Oh, well. But that wasn't, you can't, that's a trick question though.
Yes,
right?
It was a trick question, but it's based in fact.
Well,
Serena won Australia and Wimbledon, and Justine won Roland Garros and the US Open.
I think I got that right because I floated that as an idea, but I was like, well, that he wouldn't have phrased the question
this is such
this way.
classic twink behavior. You're just trying to. Okay.
I'm having flashbacks, my twink days.
Yeah. Okay. Also, sticking with the ladies, how did the women end up ranked at the end of 2003? Rank these three women.
Okay.
Kim Clijsters, Justine Henin, and Serena Williams. Year-end ranking.
Okay. Well, I know that Clijsters was... it was controversial that she was number one because she was number one before she won a slam. So that I feel like that's the tempting answer choice. So I think I'm going to go one Clijsters, two Henin. No, one Henin, two Clijsters, three Serena.
Correct. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought the Clijsters was going to throw you.
Serena was already getting into her, I'm not going to play as much as the other players phase, even in 2003. She was already like, I'm going to play a little more part-time, and if that means I'm not number one, fuck it. Also, Henin had a great year.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Now we're moving on to music. In 2003, which of these was Billboard's single of the year?
Oh,
Crazy
gosh.
In Love by Beyonce. Okay. Bring Me to Life by Evanescence. Or In Da Club by 50 Cent.
If it's Evanescence, I'm going to get heated, but I'm going to say In Da Club.
You are killing it. Correct. Mm. Yes, I thought that you were going to go for Beyonce, but yes.
Well, In Da Club. I have to, when we're thinking about these questions, you can't just think about what was your single of 2003, right? You have to think about what was Billboard's single of 2003.
That is nonsense. So if I thought it was number one, it should have been number one. But yes,
it's basically the twink disease.
That's what. Yes, I have terminal twinkism.
Yeah,
terminal twinkism. In Da Club was number one. Crazy in Love was number four, and Bring Me to Life was number 10. It was the 10th biggest single of the year, and I had to include it because Billy famously only listens to Evanescence. 20 years later. Okay, last question. The category is gay.
Ooh.
In 2003, which of the following states finally struck down its sodomy laws?
Oh, okay.
Now, do you know the answer, or do you want three options?
I want three options because, I mean, pretty much every state had sodomy laws at some point. You know? And it's hard to keep track of when those sodomy laws were struck down. In fact, there
might
be some sodomy laws.
It just depended on when you visited that state.
I think there might be some states that still have sodomy laws. No?
I do not know, but we can find out, and we will
we'll
let everybody know on our social channels. And be sure to follow us at TBB Pod Official on Instagram and Twitter, formerly known as Twitter, to find out more. But okay, the three states that did this in 2003 that are your options, one of these states out of these three did it. We've got Alabama, we've got Missouri, and we've got Texas.
I mean, Texas is, you know, that's the one I want to go for. I'm going to go with Alabama. Am I wrong? It was Texas? It was Texas?
It was Texas. All of
trust
my exes
gut, Billy.
Live in Texas. It's that song, and that's about sodomy. Oh, Billy, you were so close to getting an A+, but because you got one wrong, you get an F. I'm so sorry.
Can't you judge it a little bit and like because I had the right answer and I even floated it? Can't you give me that last one right? Come on, I want to end on an A plus.
Oh, look,
I want a prize.
You
a prize.
look, little twink, you're still gonna get a prize later. Well, that's it, folks. This is our last episode of the season of the year. We're gonna be taking a break, putting together lots of plans for 2024, fun games, events. A lot is going to be coming at you. You're not even going to sure which way to look.
Oh, we have so many plans for 2024. I'm so excited.
You better look and out. The vision board, just balls.
We've now got six vision boards. That's
and they're still just balls. But what a year it's been, Billy.
I have had a blast. I can't wait for season two. And I just hope you have In Da Club to play us out. I assume you have that queued up.
Oh, it's hit it.